إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the topic of benefiting from Islamic knowledge, and this is the second of the khutab on this topic. I remind myself and you that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on His book, the Quran, a book of signs, not verses. A verse can be enjoyed or not, but it demands nothing more. A sign, on the other hand, demands to be understood because it points to something which must be recognized. It can be a warning or it can be good news about a destination which we must all reach one day. The one who recognizes and understands the signs can prepare for that day, so that it may be the most honorable day of his or her life. The Quran, as we all know, but must remind ourselves, is the actual spoken word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was spoken to Jibreel alayhi salam in a manner that suits the grace and majesty of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam then communicated it and spoke it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recited it to his followers, who recorded it in their memory, in writing, and most importantly in their lives by following it in every aspect. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the Quran to them and demonstrated its meaning by living it himself, and they emulated him with sincerity and dedication. The Quran is our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can get closest to Him in this life by learning, reciting, understanding, and living by it. The Quran is not a book of stories, though it has stories in it. It is not a book of history, though it mentions the history of people who lived before us. It is not a book of science, though it mentions many scientific facts centuries before they were discovered and proved in our laboratories. It is not a book of laws, though every law in Islam has its foundation in the principles that it outlines. Finally, it is not even a book of rituals, of worship, because not a single ritual is explained in detail in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that explanation to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do and teach people. He merely ordered that he must be worshipped. The Quran is a map, a template, and a framework to live a life that makes one influential, beneficial, and beloved to all in this world, and honored before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment. It is a criterion of right and wrong, al-Furqan, based not on every passing fad or fancy, but on fundamental principles of good and evil that affect not only humanity, but all things, living or dead, animate or inanimate. The Quran is not a book of poetry to be recited in a pleasant tone for the enjoyment of listeners, but a book of action that calls for us to stand up and start living it, so that we can fulfill the purpose of our creation, which is to become the most beneficial people on the face of the earth. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined this purpose and said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. He said, you are the best of people ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. You enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is all that is good, and forbid al-munkar, all which is evil and forbidden in Islam, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the purpose of our existence as being for the benefit of all mankind, not for the benefit of Muslims alone, but for all mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, linnas. He did not say, lil muslimin. And He said that this means to stand up for all that is good, just, honorable, and beneficial to everyone, and against that which is the opposite of this. That is, anything which is unjust, which is dishonorable, discriminatory, oppressive, or harmful in any way. Islam is the name of a pathway of action, a way of life that results in goodness for all those who inhabit the earth. Anyone who claims to speak for Islam or to live by it, but whose speech or actions don't spread goodness, harmony, justice and love, is a liar and a cheat. Justice is the cause, the result of which is peace. There can be no peace in the absence of justice. It is a strange paradox that today people like to talk about peace, and they talk about the importance of peace, but they do not talk about the importance of justice. There cannot be smoke without a fire. There cannot be peace without justice. There can be no peace in the presence of hatred, of discrimination, of oppression, and of cruelty. When justice is established, peace is the result. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever of you sees an evil, let him change it, let him stop it with his hand. And if he is not able to do that, then let him change it or speak out against it with his tongue. And if he is not even able to do that, then let him hate it in his heart. And this last thing is a sign of the weakness of his iman. He said that is the weakest of faith. Rasulullah ﷺ said about the Muslims, reported by Jabir radiallahu anhu, a sahih hadith in Mujam al-Awsat. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, the believer is kind and gracious, for there is no goodness in one who is neither kind nor gracious. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to the people. Once again, he is not saying most beneficial to Muslims alone. He is saying most beneficial to the people, whether they are Muslim or not. Knowledge creates in the sincere student the desire always to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Him and to submit his own life to whatever pleases his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. The more he reflects on his relationship with Allah, the more the person reflects on his relationship with Allah, the more he loves Allah, and the more he is conscious never to displease Him. This, my brothers and sisters, is the essence of taqwa, the fear of displeasing the one you love. This is a concept that brings together two apparently paradoxical qualities and emotions, fear and love. If you reflect on this, you will realize how natural this is. The people we really and truly don't want to ever offend are those we love, not those we fear. We may obey those we fear, but when they are not present, we talk ill of them, we poke fun at them, and if there is anything that we can do to irritate them without getting caught, we would do it, but not with those we love. We only want to do good to them and serve them and make them happy. My brother was here last week from the US, and he told me about a friend who is 50 and has a father who is 85 on hemodialysis and a mother who is 80 and has Alzheimer's. He graduated from MIT, is himself divorced and has no children, runs a successful business. Obviously, he has the choice of putting his parents into hospice or into palliative care to be taken care of, as they both, especially his mother, need attention constantly. Instead, he scaled down his business, rented out his own house and moved into his parents' house and sleeps on a couch in the hallway between his mother's and father's rooms. He takes his father to his dialysis sessions thrice a week and takes care of his parents constantly. Big question. Why? Big answer. Because he loves them. He's not a Muslim. Make dua for him and his parents. My brothers and sisters, I quote this as an example to show that love and only love enables the greatest dedication, far more than any fear can do. I ask myself, therefore, do I love Allah? Love is a result of knowing someone and knowing what we receive from them. You cannot love somebody that you do not know. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you ask this question and say, what do we receive from Allah? The answer is very simple, everything. And that's precisely what works against our really getting serious with understanding what this everything means. We simply say everything and we leave it. What is necessary is to sit with a pen and paper and list that everything. physical, mental, spiritual, material, emotional, visible, invisible, list it all. And then look at each one of the items on your list. And imagine your life without that. Then ask yourself, what did I do to get this? What did I do to deserve this? This is your homework for today, inshallah. Ask yourself, what would I be willing to pay for it if I needed to buy it? How will my life be without this? Think up your own questions in this line. List the questions with each of the items on your list of blessings and ask these questions and write the answers. Spend as much time as you need on each of them. Learning to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a weekend course. This is the essence of tarbiyah or tazkiyah. It is the first step in Islam without which we can't go ahead to the next, which is developing taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to develop His taqwa and to do it to the extent that is in keeping with His majesty and grace. And He warned us to do this before we die and not to die except in a state where we are muttaqoon, that is submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah said, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is His right that you should have His taqwa, and do not die except in a state of Islam, which means complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is taqwa? Taqwa is not the fear of Allah. This is one of the translation mistakes, several of them which are done when we translate from Arabic into English. Taqwa is not fear of Allah, but the fear of displeasing the one we love the most. I say that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned love for Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, as the distinguishing feature of the believers. He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. He said, but those who believe, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else. My brothers and sisters, we cannot love someone we don't know. And that is why it is essential to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him as He described Himself. And then feel His presence in our lives. To measure the level of our love for Him and the level of our sensitivity to feeling His presence in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a meter with which to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts shiver with His awe and majesty. And when His ayat, when the Quran are recited before them and recited unto them, they, that is the ayat of the Quran, increase their faith and they put their trust in their Rabb, in Allah alone. The Quran is a book of action, and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in it relates to some practical action that we need to take. This ayah is a great example, for it shows us a method for us to check our level of iman, to level of faith and reliance and trust, which is our tawakkul on Allah. So let us do this right away. I want you to listen to what I'm about to recite. And not just listen passively, I want you, if you need to, shut your eyes. If not, in any way that you know how, is to go within yourself, to go into your heart, to go and check out your qalb, your heart, and see what happens. Check and see if anything happens as you listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts responsive to His majesty and grace and to His message. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم
ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introducing himself to us. Nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than he can introduce himself. I am not going to read out the meanings or tell you the meanings of all of these ayats because all these ayats are familiar to you, you know the meanings. And those who do not know the meanings, here is your opportunity to go and look them up. But more than anything else, reflect back and down in our hearts and say, what happened to me when I was listening to the Quran? And then ask yourself that if you are a Muslim and if your heart is responsive to the word of Allah, then how can that heart be full of stress at the same time? How can that heart be full of fear at the same time? How can that heart be full of hatred at the same time? How can that heart be full of greed and jealousy at the same time? Because just like it is impossible for a space to be dark and filled with light at the same time, it's a non-doable. It's either dark or it is lighted. A place cannot be full of darkness and light at the same time. So also the heart cannot be filled with the noor of Allah and with all sorts of negativity at the same time. And that's the reason why I say that the Quran is a book of action. It challenges us to reflect and to examine ourselves. My brothers and sisters, is it not strange that this weak and needy creature, the human being, who needs every single thing, every breath that he takes, he needs that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it not strange that this creature still chooses to rebel against Allah and does not hesitate to disobey him? Does he not understand that the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made are for his benefit, not for the benefit of Allah? What did Allah say about this creature who rebels against him? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise to roast him in the fire? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise to punish him and put him in the hellfire forever? What did Allah say? On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught this person who rebels against him, Jalla Jalaluhu, to have hope in his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to have hope in his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ayat of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, to whom? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to those who transgress against themselves. Say to those who commit sins. When a human being commits a sin, he is not transgressing against Allah, because nothing can affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all this. You can't harm him, you can't benefit him. If every single creature on the face of the earth decides simultaneously to reject Islam and to get out of Islam and to stop worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not decrease the grace and majesty of my Rabb by one whit. And if every single living being on the face of the planet decides to fall in sujood, in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not increase the grace and majesty of my Rabb by one whit. We worship Allah for ourselves. We don't worship Allah for Him. Allah does not need our worship. We do it in order to reiterate and emphasize our allegiance, to reinforce our connection with Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Because we believe that one day we will meet Him, and we want that day to be the best day of our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say to those, and if those of you understand the Arabic, look at the word, Allah did not say, say to those, Allah said, say my slaves, ya ibadi, my slaves, who is owning them, who? Those who transgress against me, He's owning them, they are mine, who? Those who go against me, He's owning them, who? Those who commit sins. Ya ibadi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, say to those who transgress. Allah said, say to them. And then Allah is giving the words. What are the words? Ya ibadi. My slaves. Who? Alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who have transgressed against themselves. What must they do? Did he say, fear my punishment? No. He said, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Don't ever believe that I committed so much stuff that how can God ever forgive this? The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than anything that you can do. The only condition is repent. The only condition is change your ways. The only condition is follow the path which is good for you. Not for Allah. Good for you. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily He is the most forgiving, most merciful. As I have said many times before when translating this ayah could have been complete when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not despair. That was a complete sentence. He did not stop there. He said, verily Allah will forgive all sins. He could have stopped there. And that was a complete sentence. Do not despair. Allah will forgive all sins. He didn't stop there. He went further and he said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. This is the glory and majesty of my Rabb. And then because He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, the magnificent and the glorious, who doesn't count while giving, He gives without measure in keeping with His greatness and glory. He announced for the one who seeks forgiveness with sincerity, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَا وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. Not only will He forgive, but He will change that, meaning that He is not going to reward you for the sin. But if you committed 10 sins, He will give you 10 good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiving, most merciful. My brothers and sisters, what can you say and what can I say about our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, about His mercy, about His forgiveness, except to fall in sujood before Him in thanks for His mercy and never to deliberately disobey Him in any matter. Truly unfortunate and insane are those who know all this and yet it doesn't stop them from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly we fool ourselves. I remind myself and you that to benefit from Islamic knowledge, we need to read, to reflect, to practice, and to correct our practice until we see results, and then repeat the cycle. We've all heard the proverb, practice makes perfect. I submit to you that practice does not make perfect. Practice merely makes permanent. Correct practice makes perfect. And only correct practice gives the desired results. Acquiring knowledge of an art is all about correct practice. Just as reading or watching videos about Aikido or Judo will not make us expert fighters, so also reading about or watching lectures on Islam won't make you an effective practitioner of Islam. When that results in problems in blaming in your life, blaming Islam is as futile as blaming Judo if you can't win a fight after reading a book on Judo. If you want to win a fight, you have to spend time in the dojo and fall 10,000 times. Some of you may recall my reference to Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers. You learn to fall not only to learn how to save yourself, but to understand that all knowledge begins with humility. With acknowledging that you know nothing, that you are in need, that you are willing to start from the ground up. The strongest and sturdiest construction is built on the deepest foundation. To go up, you must first go down. Otherwise, a building that is built without a foundation will stand only until the first storm hits it. If you don't practice the martial art, but do a PhD thesis on it, you may get your doctorate, but you will hit the street very hard the first time you come across a hooligan in the street. Only correct practice benefits. In conclusion, I remind myself and you that if you and I want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must stand before Him in the night and live in the day according to the way of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being good to everyone, denying our base instincts, controlling our anger, greed, jealousy, and overcoming hatred with love and compassion. Sound stuff. So is winning a judo tournament. The question is not whether it is tough or easy. The question is, do you want to win or lose? Winners walk the difficult road, the road less traveled. Losers complain about why they couldn't win. Choose your path wisely, because every path leads to its own destination. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. There's a request for dua from one of our musallis in Canada for his uncle Adil Muhammad Mazharul Haq, who was diagnosed with cancer, and then it progressed very rapidly and he passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to forgive him and to give him Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala bi ghairi hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with him and to grant his family sabr and patience and to help them in their time of need. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive everyone who has passed away, everyone who is living. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who are ill. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve from debt all those who are caught in debt traps. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to release from prisons those who are imprisoned unjustly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to correct our ways before one day when we meet Him. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day to be the best day, the happiest day, and the most honorable day, because then we will be able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who we love more than anyone or anything else. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.